may think, okay, maybe the brothers should sit in the front row. That's okay, no problem. But when there's a sisters meeting, why would people sit on the third or the fifth row? That is a sign of weakness and a sign of under the control of Satan. Oh yeah, why do we come to a meeting? To meet. We come to meet, we come to fellowship, we come to pray. When you sit in the back, what does that mean? It means I'm hiding. I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to do anything. No, that's wrong. So we must come with a good tape meeting manner. So Brother Lee said this. One time he saw a Christian group. First one who comes in, sit on the first chair of the first row. The second one comes in, sit on the second chair. And then fill up the first row, fill up the second row. He was so happy to see such a scene. But many of us don't have the manner. We just come and sit wherever we want to sit. Then another thing he said is whenever there's a seat in the front that is open, you should go fill it. That's the meeting manner. You see, the sisters are sitting on the third row. You know this, who's the sister that came with you in blue? Where is she? No. There was an older sister. Oh, there she is. Okay. She came in and she looked at the second row and say, let's sit there. Good manner. And then she did not sit in the edge. She sit all the way to the center. That is very good manner. You know, some meetings I go to, people sit at the edge of five rows, six rows. And nobody else is anywhere. It's just, they're ready to run as soon as the meeting is over. Announcement, okay, meeting is over. They can go out quickly. This is bad meeting manner. So I hope that you sisters can learn the manner and pass it on. Pass it on means the younger sisters coming, you educate them. In one of the sisters training in New Zealand, it says that the older sisters should train the younger sisters, right? So you should train them. But then when the older sisters are hiding, then there's no more training for the younger ones. Everyone learned to hide. So this is very serious. Because we come to a meeting, we are meeting the Lord, right? We come to meet the Lord and we meet with one another. So it's important. Okay. Then another thing, a meeting manner, is that we should pray, right? Some people come to meeting determined not to pray because it's the custom not to pray. But prayer is one of the main things in a meeting, especially Lord's table. Brother Ron described a degraded Lord's table meeting. Have you heard that? He heard it, but many of you might not have the chance to hear that because it's only for the elders and the responsible ones. So none of you should have heard it. Okay, what did he say? He described his district meeting, how that is degraded. Somebody called a song, sang a song, and read the lines. Somebody called another song, sang the song, read the lines. And then he offered a prayer about the Lord that he saw and experienced. And after he prayed, nobody follows for a period of time. Then another one called a song, and read the lines, and then another one called a song and read the line. That is a degraded meeting. What do you think? How's your meeting? Is it similar to that? Similar?
Yeah.
Now he's an elder here, so if he says it is, right? I don't know. Because he is exposing his church, right? So why is that? Now I talked about that last time.
Yeah.
Then the next meeting, remember the next Lord's Day meeting was so good.
Yeah, only two songs for the whole meeting.
Yeah. And then it degraded again.
Yeah. Bad habit.
It's a bad habit. We have to fight against bad habits. Sitting in the back is a bad habit. You just walk in, you sit in the back. It's a bad habit. Then you fight. So Brother Lee has this term called rebel against your nature. Your nature, especially the Chinese-speaking saints, the nature is to hide. The Caucasians are more bold. The Chinese saints want to hide. Okay, so you have to be careful. Fight against that. You come, it's good, you know, then you may say, okay, then I'll come later so I don't have to sit in the front. That's not good. So to be early is good. Always to be on time. Now, many of you are late already today, so you have to repent for that. We are used to being late and don't have any sense that it is a problem. What do you think? If I am late all the time to the meeting, do you think when the Lord comes to rapture people, would I get raptured?
Probably not.
Probably not. Because I never fought against my nature of being late. So I have to fight. But then the fight is with the Spirit, not by ourselves. Now, if you are just a naturally punctual person, you cannot be built up with others because you criticize everyone who is late and you cannot be built. But knowing that, still we need to work with the Spirit to be transformed. So we don't come late, we don't hide, and we pray, right? Some saints, I went to a meeting with 70 saints in a district. 10 of them spoke 6 minutes each, so that took a whole hour. And then their speaking was quite good, quite substantial. But then the other 60 were sitting there. It looks like the 10 always were the same 10 that spoke. Looks like the 60 were the same 60 that always said. You know what Brother Lee called that type of situation? Corporate clergy. Clergy is one man speaking. Corporate clergy is a group speaking all the time. So let us not have corporate clergy. That means only some pray, the others don't pray. But most of you pray today, that's good. So learn to fight against degradation in the meetings. And then the singing in the Lord's table. Singing is not the main dish of the Lord's table. Praying, thanksgiving is the main dish. Okay? Remember that. The main dish means the main topic, main thing to do. Singing is part of the Lord's table. But in the first Lord's table, there was only one song sung. Remember that. First Lord's table, only one song was sung. Only one. Okay? So Brother Lee said this. All we need is one or two songs for a Lord's table. Then what do we do for the rest of the time? Then you read the ministry. Let's say there's some lessons talk about Lord's table. You can sing, you can pray, you can read the word, you can speak well of Christ. Okay, remember this Lord's table is to remember him. Okay, how do you remember him? You talk about him. Oh, our Lord died for our sins to redeem us. Without his death, we can never be here. That's speaking well of him. Do people speak like that? Not many. Lots of singing. And then read a line. You know, reading hymns was developed more than 50 years ago. When it first was discovered we could read hymns, it was excitement. Oh, okay, we can read. But then when you read it for 55 years, then it becomes old. It's just tradition. People do that. So why people sing so much? Lack of experience of Christ during the week. Okay, that's why. So we, nothing, no more prayer. Okay, let's call a song. Sometimes people even call a song to stop the prayer. So people are praying, and then the song is called. But the other day in, Adelaide, somebody called a song. Then now there were some prayer, and then somebody called a song. And then we sang the song. And then soon after that, somebody called a second song. And then some people began to pray. And then we didn't sing for a long time. We just pray. That was excellent. And then suddenly the piano started. The pianist could not wait for singing, so he started. So that piano stopped the prayer. So we may call a song to stop the prayer. We may play the piano to stop the prayer. But the prayer is the main dish. The main dish. So last time I was here 6 months ago, the Lord's table was excellent because we had a Saturday meeting, two meetings concerning that. So the Lord's table was excellent. It's nearly rarely seen at Lord's table that good. But now it's degraded. So we have to learn again. So I told the saints, FTT graduates, a group of full-timers, I told them, I said, once you heard something from the training, you never forget. But you may disobey, but you never forget. Okay? So once I told you, Lord's table is not a singing meeting. You never forget. But you may disobey. Go back to the tradition because other people are doing the tradition. So you follow. So, but you have to stand for the Lord's move, not follow a tradition. Okay, so, but I told him yesterday, I said, but if you tell all the saints, don't sing so much, then what do? They don't have experience of Christ during the week, so there's not much prayer. So what do? So you have to shepherd the saints to enjoy Christ every day, experience Christ every day. So when the Lord's Day comes, you don't have to tell people, don't sing so much. You already have a lot of praises that will, just like that in Adelaide, when a song was called, people continue to pray. That's excellent because there's a lot of prayer to be offered. So we cannot be bothered with singing right now. We got to pray. So that would be good. So if you sisters are full of the experiences of Christ from the day, then you come here, nobody can stop you from praying by calling a song. They can call a song and you can continue praying. Is there a verse in the Bible says if somebody calls a song, you must sing it? No, right? Who said that we must sing a song when somebody calls it? Because we're polite.
Yeah.
You call a song, we have to sing your song. Then we spend 7 minutes on your song. And then somebody calls a song, we spend another 7 minutes. After four songs, before the breaking of bread, 30 minutes used up, not much prayer. And then we break the bread. And then after that, we sing a song to the Father. And then another 7 minutes. And then after another two songs, Lord's table, I've seen, they sing seven songs. Have you seen that, seven songs?
Often.
Huh?
Often.
Often, right? Seven songs. Why seven? Sing seven songs? How about more saints stand up and speak?
speak well of Christ. You know, the word bless, bless the Lord means speak well of the Lord.
Yeah.
Speak well. That's in a life study of Ephesians 1.
Okay, so you speak well of Christ. Somebody read a verse that they enjoy of the Lord through that week, and then read some verses speaking well of Christ, praying, giving thanks, praising, sing a song, everything. But when we don't have much, either we don't have much content to bring to the Lord's table, or we follow a tradition of singing. Either way could ruin the Lord's table. We're here to remember the Lord, not to sing. Singing is okay. No problem with singing. But don't let that become the main dish. Let praying, thanksgiving, speaking well of Christ be the main dish. So remember the term the Lord say, do this often in remembrance of me. So we are here to remember the Lord. Okay. Little bit introduction based on the morning. Okay, so let's, we have two meetings here. I was told the first meeting is for question and response, right? Not many questions. Is there any?
Only one.
So let's answer that one. Or you can ask here now, since not many people have sent in or given. Huh? Or you can. One question. Any fellowship about sisters dealing with their own ambition? Often ambition is spoken about in relation to the brothers. But sisters also can be ambitious. We could be proud of our work, cooking, opening our home, having good children, our husband being a leading brother, etc. Okay. You want to answer that? This is Brother Juan Pablo. Last time Leonel Martinez came with his wife, this is Juan Pablo and Jasmin. Jasmin is Jasmine. Okay, but in Spanish it's called Jasmin. Juan Pablo is John Paul. Juan is John and Pablo is Paul. So his brother John Paul and brother Jasmine. And she came from the same church that Linnell came from, but she moved to Mexico City and married him. So, but then at times they went back to, her parents still live in Chihuahua where Linnell lives. So it happened that they are related somewhat to Linnell Martinez. He's a co-worker with us in Mexico. We have about 60 co-workers, so he's one of them.
Yes, I'm very happy to be with you all, sisters. This is my second time in Australia. I came in 2016 for the ITERO. And actually, with other brother from Mexico, another co-worker, we came to Brisbane for the blending trip. So I'm very happy to be again with the church in Brisbane. So since we arrived, we have been enjoying the Christ in the saints here.
Amen.
Concerning this question, of course, when we talk about ambition, always, maybe most of the time we refer to brothers, right? Because ambition maybe is more stronger in the brothers than in the sisters, but the sisters, they, of course, because of the fall of men, also the sisters have this situation in the soul, right? So praise the Lord that the Lord deals with this on the cross already. he put all this stuff that belongs to the old man in the cross. So we, as saints in the church, you as a sisters, also need to be under the experience of the cross of Christ. Whenever we go to our spirit and enjoy the life-giving spirit, this spirit is a compound spirit that has the ingredient of the death of Christ. So we experience that. We yesterday in the morning revival that we had taken in Mexico, talk about the precious materials of what we need to build up the church, like gold, silver, and precious stones. And there is a warning also, because we also may build up the church with wood, stubble,
grass, and grass stubble.
And stubble. So that not good materials refers to the natural man, to the fallen man, to the flesh, right? So I believe ambition belongs to that kind of material. So in a positive way, we need to experience the gold, right? The divine natures of the Father. We need to experience receiving the dispensing of the nature of the Father in us through the Spirit, right? We are right now in that process. This process is called sanctification. So right now we are in the process to become holy. And this is only possible when the Holy God dispensed himself and brought his holy nature in us. So when we are in this experience, we little by little get exposed about this ambition, right? We need to come to the Lord in a practical way to receive light from the Lord. Yes, when we touch the Lord, always when we touch the Lord, exercising our spirit, maybe we come to pray, read the word, light comes. We receive light. And in a one hand, the light shows us the Lord, right? We know more the Lord by revelation. But also, light exposes us. We don't know to go to have introspection, right? To see, oh, how ambitious I am I, or something like that. No, the light is going to expose us. Amen. So under this light, we can deal with this ambition we may Amen. Have, right?
Amen.
So
actually, the first woman, Eve, was very ambitious. When Satan told her that they can become gods and knowing both good and evil, then it says that she saw the tree is able to make one wise. Remember that? Not only pleasant to the sight, good for food, but make one wise. So then she took it and gave it to her husband. So from that point on, all the women is a problem. They all became a problem. Because she took it first. She became wise first. Then got the husband to take it. I don't know how she got her husband to take it, because the husband knew God said, don't eat. The day you eat, you'll die. But somehow he obeyed her rather than her husband. So maybe she got dominated him by some reasons. We don't know. But anyway, that was the beginning. Then Paul said that woman was quite deceived. So the reason we keep on saying the brothers are ambitious, because the brothers, when they get ambitious, they can create division in the church. Number one, they may fight for the eldership to be an elder. Once they become an elder, they may fight to become the number one elder that everyone has listened to. There are some churches in South America that they did that. One brother controlled the whole continent. He appointed 10 co-workers, one over each major country. And when he goes there, he appointed elders in the cities, the churches, and he would select one elder to be the leading elder. And that leading, everyone listened to the leading elder, and the leading elder reports to that co-worker, the co-worker report to that number one co-worker. So the whole thing was a hierarchy worse than the Catholic Church. So then the Lord destroyed that about 10 or 12 years ago. Then many saints got recovered. Many saints got lost because of this ambitious brother. They got lost. Some of them went back to the world, some because they got so discouraged. Some went to denominations, and some stopped meeting. And then, but right now the Lord has recovered maybe 8,000 saints. Praise the Lord for that. So it's a kind of a new recovery, recovering the recovery there. So ambitious men, brothers, can cause a lot of problem. And in U.S., the same thing. There's a brother in Ohio area, became dominating of others. Then eventually many churches got lost in that area. So when people are ambitious to be leaders, they cause a lot of problem. Now, sisters are ambitious, but they don't have the position to cause division so well in a big scale. But they may cause division in a small scale. And so it's good that somebody asked this question. As our brother said, the ambition came from the fallen soul. And the fallen soul has been crucified by Christ. So it's a matter of exercising your spirit to apply the reality that Christ accomplish to you, yourself. It's, everybody has the same problem. The brothers have the same problem. Now, he's an elder, but he may be ambitious too. Okay, he does not need to be ambitious to be an elder, but he still can be ambitious. So, all of us have the same problem. And all of us have the same solution. Christ and his cross is the solution to all problems in the church, in our Christian life, in the work of the recovery, same solution. Just have to apply it. So whenever you realize you're ambitious, you just say, Lord, forgive me. I'm still ambitious. That's all you can, that's all you can do. You cannot say, I'm not going to be ambitious anymore. There's no such thing. Unless you are thoroughly dead physically. When you're dead in a grave, you cannot be ambitious. But as long as you are alive, the flesh of sin is always there, stirring up the ambition. Let me ask you, when in the Garden of Eden, Abraham was created first, then the Lord built him a woman, Eve, Adam, sorry. What did I say? Abraham, sorry. Adam and then Eve came. They were together. What happened to her? How could she be away from Adam and talk to a stick? What happened? So she was ambitious already before taking the tree of knowledge. She wandered around. What if
What if she is smart or wise or whatever you may call it? When the snake start to talk to him, her, and she said, "Adam, Adam, a snake is talking to me. Come, come, come." Okay, she would not be the have a problem, right? But she didn't do it. Then Adam also was not wise. He should have said, "God, God, my wife is trying to give me the tree of knowledge." Then we all will be still in the Garden of Eden, eating the tree of life. But everyone was ambitious to become the head. Because you don't want to listen to anybody. Okay. So I think this is going to make me wise. I'm going to take it. I don't need to check with my husband. Then the husband says, "I don't need to check with God. I can make my own decision." Oh yes, he could. So he fell. And she fell. And we all fell. So the ambition was already there, actually, long time ago. But the only solution to any problem, ambition is one, you know, lust for of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, all these things are there. The only way to fix it is just to turn to the Lord. Nothing you can do. You love money, you cannot stop loving money. You love beautiful dresses, you cannot stop loving beautiful dresses. Only thing you can do is, "Lord, forgive me, I still love beautiful dresses." But that's all you can do. And then, sometimes Brother Ron said, "You will be the same until you're different." What does that mean? That means you always love those beautiful dresses, love the money, love the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, ambitious, until you are God. When you're God, in life and in nature, then you don't love those things. And how do you become God? You just come to God and come to the Lord and pray, read His word, and pray and confess your sins. That's all you can do. Amen. Is there another question? Or you have any question here? Nobody's written. No? Yeah?
How do we confess our sins? But now falling into introspection.
That's very good. In the first training of the vital groups, called the Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups, about last chapter, message 9 or 10, two messages have nearly the same outline, or exactly the same outline, I forgot. There were different categories of sins that we should confess. Maybe total of 28 items in different categories. And a sister said, when she tried to confess her sins, the more she confessed, the worse she felt. Now that is not according to the word. According to the word is, if you confess your sin, He is righteous and just. He will forgive your sins and cleanse all your unrighteousness. Right? That's the word. Why did she feel worse? So something is wrong with her confession or her concept. According to the right concept, the right word of God, you confess, you get forgiven. Wow, forgiven. And then forgiving equals forgetting. Forgiving is forgetting. According to Hebrews 8:31, around there, it says that He will not remember your sin anymore, right? He forgives, He forgets, and He cleanses. Cleansing means the stain of sin. You sin, you have a record of sin, that you need a judgment. So when you repent, you get forgiven, you get forgotten, and then there's a stain of sin. It's a mark of sin. It's a sinful record. So if you rob a bank, they will remember you rob a bank until you die, until after you die. So they don't erase the record of your robbery. You may pay for the robbery for 10 years in jail. Then after 10 years, they cannot put you in jail anymore for that robbery. But they will remember that there's a word in America called ex-con, ex-convict. So you got convicted of robbery, and then you have fulfilled your duty of the judgment, but you are still an ex-con. Then nobody would like to hire you because you're an ex-con. Okay. But according to God, He not only forgiven us because Christ died for us, He also forget what we did. So then He cleansed us from the record of sin. No more. So if Satan will come to God and say, remember, Paul was terrible, what he did. He said, what? What did he do? I don't remember what he did. I only know that he's my son. That's God's answer. But the problem with us is that we remember. Men remember. So David's sin is remembered until today. Now God already forgave him 2,000 some years ago, 3,000 years ago. But the record of sin continue with man. Okay, so then when you confess, you feel bad. What does that mean? For sure, that's not the word of God, right? But what does that mean? You feel bad when you confess. You feel bad. What does that mean? That means you are not confessing. Because the Bible says you confess your sin, you'll be forgiven and cleansed. Then you should be restored. You should restore the fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. So there's no more problem. But why do you feel bad? So you were not confessing. Then what were you doing? You were self-examining. One sister told me she made a mistake, or she didn't even know that she made a mistake 18 years ago. And she confessed to the Lord for making that mistake that she didn't even know that she made that mistake. And she confessed to the brother that got suffer because of her mistake that she didn't even know she made that mistake. This is called unwitting. Unwitting mistake. Unwitting. That means you don't even have intention or don't even know about it. Okay. 18 years later, she still feel bad about that. What is that? That is not a confession. That is a human fixing or human way of fixing the problem. Oh, I'm so sorry. I did that to you. But that's not confession before God. Confession before God is after you have confessed 18 years ago, confess to God, confess to the brothers, boom, it's over. It's cleansed. No more record. Don't even remember there's such a thing. God doesn't remember. You ask him, hey, do you remember I did that? He said, what did you do? I don't remember. But you remember. So that was not a confession. So a true confession is that you get release from sin. Release from the condemnation of sin. Released. No more condemnation. You don't feel bad anymore. The reason you still feel bad because you made a mistake that you think that you should not have made. We are nice people, especially sisters are the nicest people in the whole face of the earth. So you
You make a mistake, man, what a terrible mistake I made. Then you feel bad for 18 years. Or if you live another 18 years, it will be 36 years. If you live another 50 years, it will be 50 years. This is our problem. We don't read the Bible clearly, and we don't see the light in the Bible clearly. But we so-called confess, then we feel bad. So that sister had to confess 28 items. Then the more she confessed those 28 items, the worse she felt, because she was self-condemning herself rather than coming to the Lord to say, Lord, yes, I am individualistic. Yes, I am. I make many mistakes. Yes, I still am ambitious. Yes. You know what confession means? Saying the same thing as what God said. You are ambitious. Yes, I'm still ambitious. You love money. Yes, Lord, I still love money, but I cannot help it. That's confession. But then after you confess it, you may say, oh man, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I still love money. What's the matter with me? Don't say that. That is not part of the program. The program is, Lord, I'm sorry, I still love money. Then tomorrow, you still love money. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I still love money. And then the day after, you still love money. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I still love money. You get enlightened, you confess, and you live in the Spirit. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. You cannot say, why do I still love money after being a Christian for 30 years? I already offered myself 25 years ago. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Just say, Lord, forgive me. I still love money. And thank you for your cleansing. That's it. Then you live in the Spirit. So we need to learn to confess. Confession is not self-examination. How good am I after so many years of being a Christian? Confession is just to tell the Lord, yes. Amen. That's the way I am. But I don't want to be. I want to become you.
So confession is confessing what the Lord tells us
yeah.
to confess.
Yeah.
It's not digging for things to find out and discover what should
no.
I confess.
No. You look, read the book called Experience of Life. It talks about that. Confess until you have life and peace. Yeah. But the problem with that sister is that she misunderstood confession. So the more she confessed, the more death she felt. So many of us are like that. We're goody-goody people. We just want to be good and want to show people that we're good, that when we make a mistake like that, that people got damaged, then we felt so bad that now our name is ruined because everyone knows that I'm so bad, and so I feel bad. No. You should feel good that you can confess your sin and the Lord cleanses. Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's also Hebrews 8. Yeah. 8:12, huh? And also Jeremiah 31. I think that's why I thought it was. Huh? Yeah. So there are many verses on that. If you look at 10:17 Hebrews. Yeah. Okay, so many verses told us that he would not remember, and then we still remember. So we have bad memories. He has good memories. His good memory is that whenever you sin, he always will remember until you confess. Then after you confess, he cannot remember anymore. That is good memory. Bad memory is that we sin and we forgot until he reminds us. Then we confess and we still remember. That's a bad memory. Okay, here we go. Another one. Yeah.
God God forget when we confess, right?
Right.
But how about the sin is related to, for example, if I own someone something.
Yeah.
Okay, I confess to God.
Right.
I know that it's wrong, right?
Right.
So I confess to God. God right. forget.
Right.
But then I do not return what I should.
Well, according to experience of life, you should make restitution. Yes, you have to. Let's say you stole some money, $100, and then you should pay back the $100 plus interest or plus 25%, whatever. That's what, what's his name did? Zacchaeus, right? Four times as much. According to the Old Testament, 25%, but he did a 400%. So he is a super, super Christian. So anyway, he did. If then it says in that book is that if you don't have enough money, you can pay by installments or something like that. And then if the person you cannot find, you can give it to the poor or give it to the church, but you have to make restitution. Yes.
There's a problem that it's hard.
Forget about being hard. Don't use that word. Don't use that word when we deal with the Lord. Okay. The Bible, whatever the Bible says, is the truth.
Amen.
Don't say it's hard. Either possible or impossible. Impossible is when we don't know the Lord. Possible is when we know the Lord. With man is impossible. With God, is all things are possible. There's no such word as a heart. So don't use that word. No. Yeah. You just have to accept the word of God and let it be so.
It's all right. I ask a question.
Well, there's a question here. Let's take care of this one. Then we can take care of yours. So this one came first before you. Sorry.
The Bible taught that there shouldn't be divorce.
Amen.
But among the saints, did this happen?
Terrible.
How to explain this kind of situation? If divorce and remarrying to the younger ones, for example, the uni students, high schoolers, how about, okay. There is another question, but this is the first one.
Yeah, first one. Take care of the first one first.
Yes.
Okay. You want to respond to that? The question is how to explain this kind of situation of divorce and remarrying to the younger ones. Okay. There's no need for explanation.
Yeah.
The Bible says no divorce, period. That's it, forever. No question asked. Why are there some divorce? Because they don't follow the Bible. That's what it is. They don't live in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, why would you have a divorce? You live in the Spirit every day, all day. You'll love one another until the Lord comes. But when you don't live in the Spirit, you argue, I'm right, you're wrong, blah, 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 blah. You fight, and then eventually cannot stand one another and have a divorce. That is not church problem. That is the problem of the flesh. We don't have to explain for people why are there divorces in the church. You just have to say they don't live in the Spirit. That's all it is. Whether in the church or not in the church. Some people are not in the church, they marry for 80 years.
Yeah.
Does that mean they are in the Spirit? No, not necessarily. Maybe, maybe not. But for sure, when you don't live in the Spirit, you live in the flesh, you have problems. Whether you will have a divorce or not, it's not guaranteed. But for sure, we know a divorce is caused by the flesh of sin. Either they actually commit sin, commit fornication, or they just cannot stand with one another. So we don't need to explain the bad situation. We just teach the proper word of God. Right?
No. But what about if you see that the situation is dangerous? One might get hurt.
Huh?
You know, if you see the situation is bad,
yeah,
one of them might get hurt.
Get what?
Hurt.
Okay. That means you can separate temporarily, but you cannot have a divorce. Divorce only two reasons. One is death. The other one is the other side commit fornication. So the other side broke the marriage. Okay. Injury, misspending of money, blah, 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 all sorts of other things cannot, is no reason according to the Bible. You can have a separation for a while until people calm down.
I'm saying I'm an outsider. If I see the situation, what advice should I say?
Outsider can do nothing unless they come to you and ask for help. The only help you can give them is to pray with them and help them to be in spirit. That's all you can do. Now, there was a sister who got beaten up by the husband. Both of them were in the church. Then she ran away from home and came to our house. So we gave her shelter for a period of time, but we did not propose that she should have a divorce. No, cannot.
Thank you. Another question. Sorry.
Okay.
It's my turn now, isn't it?
No, no, not yet.
Not yet.
There's one more question here. Sorry.
It's similar concerning the one on divorce, but how to explain the young people?
Yeah, we did that already. Is this? Like,
yeah. About homosexuals, transgender situations. It find hard to talk about these topics to young people, as they thought that they have freedom to do what they feel happy. That is people's life. He shouldn't be judged by anybody. How to explain this?
Okay, first, God gave Adam freedom. Adam took the tree of knowledge and killed 10 billion people on one day. God allowed that. So people can do anything they want. Our children can do anything they want, except there will be judgment. So everyone is free to do whatever they want, but there will be judgment. Okay, so we who fear God will not do whatever we want. We have to fear God, right? Okay. Now, how do you explain? There are some brothers who wrote some stories about man and woman. God created man and woman, right? So that's how God created man and woman. God never create anything else than man and woman. There's nothing else. Except, you know, gene, what's that called? The transmuting of the genes and all that. Then we may create something that is abnormal, but it may be one in a million or something. Yeah.
It's not common.
Yeah, not common. But man and woman is the way God created. Just man and woman, and only man and woman. Yeah, just read from the Bible to them, man and woman. That's it. Only God created man and woman. And now, after they grow up, they don't want to listen to that. It's up to them. Judgment will come later. But we cannot control their thoughts. But we can educate them with the word. God only created man and woman, nothing else. How about this and that? Well,
doesn't matter. God created only man and woman. Simple. Just use the word of God. We don't need the terminologies of the world. We don't need to explain why this, why that. Just man and woman. That's it. Man is, huh? Man is a man. Woman is a woman. God created them that way. Just like God created you a Caucasian, me a Chinese. That's the way it is. I cannot change that. And I don't need to change it. I just be happy with God's creation. And you be happy with God's creation. So we are all happy. When we are not happy with God, then, oh man, we got trouble. So I'm happy I'm a man. Are you happy you're a man?
That's how God created man.
Yeah. It's not that man is better than woman. It's just the way I was created. I have black hair.
So when you're not happy, that's a problem.
Yeah, when you are not happy. So it's a just like the gospel. Christ died for your sin. If you believe, you will be saved. Do you believe? Yes? Okay, good. You are saved. You don't believe? What then can I do? Right? It's just like the gospel, like everything else, like the divorce. You may have all sorts of reasons for divorce, but there's no reason for divorce because the Bible says no divorce. So you just have to take the word. But if people don't, the children or young people or your uni people or anybody does not want to take the word of God, nothing you can do. Because Adam was the first one who did not take the word of God. God told him, the day you take this tree of knowledge, you will die. You will die. You will die. And he said, maybe not. Okay. Okay. On this, okay.
When countries make laws,
yeah,
forbidding you to discriminate or anything like that about sexism, certain things that,
yeah,
we do believe that the Lord is, you know,
right,
Lord of all these things, then we have to go along with those laws, but it's against God.
Okay, there were laws. You cannot preach Jesus. Remember that? In Acts, the leaders told Peter, you cannot preach based on this name. What did they say? I said, we cannot disobey God, right? Okay. So today, we cannot accept a person who is committing fornication to take the Lord's table. Any form of fornication, right? Okay. So, this is our belief. They can say, well, I am not fornicating. I just do whatever I like. Yeah, so sure, you can do whatever you like. But what you are doing, we do not allow you to take the Lord's table. Now, if you do this, maybe the government will take away your meeting hall. Maybe. It's a possibility. Because they say you are discriminating against certain group of people. But by faith, we cannot accept that. By our faith, we cannot accept it. Now, if the government has a law that says, if you discriminate against these people, we will take away your properties. And nothing you can do. But in some countries, they say, well, religion is free. You can have your faith. If you believe something, then you can keep that. There's no problem. But then some government will take away your meeting hall anyway. Like if you live in some country X, they will kill you after you get baptized. They call that honor killing. So are you going to get baptized? See, this is a matter of faith. So eventually, there's a worldly system completely developed against God in certain aspects, certain ways, certain limits, and all that. And so we, that's why we got to build up the body and bring the Lord back, so we don't have to deal with that. This is the whole thing. Then in the middle, you may get killed. In the middle, you may get damaged. In the middle, you may lose all your properties. What can you do? So there was a couple. They have a bakery in U.S. They make wedding cakes. Then when two men came in and said, we want a wedding cake for our wedding, they refused. So they were shut down by the government. So they lost their business. But then now they won the lawsuit. So they can do that. Except that they lost the business already. So for their faith, praise the Lord. Well, there was a Columbine High School. Do you remember that? Colorado?
Yeah.
There was, why was that guy shooting? Because the whole group of Christian students were praying every morning in the middle of the entrance. Okay, so when he was killing, even one girl, I read an account that one girl, he said, okay, if you renate the name of Jesus, then I'll let you go or else I'll kill you. And then she would not do it. Then she got killed. So praise the Lord for that. Wonderful that there are some people standing for their faith. And then you get damaged. But that's what week five, your week five, 2 weeks ago, your morning revival. Day three, talk about three types of suffering. Natural suffering by your mistakes and sin, and then for the body's sake. So when you make a testimony strong, you may lose your promotion, you may lose your job, you may lose your life, but that is part of that. So we should not be bothered with that. Yeah. Okay. Now is the turn.
Yeah. This question in my mind for a long time.
Next time, write it down.
Yeah. Sorry. It's talking about, you know, the second death. We this time we pursue Philippine, the book of Philippine. On the last message last week, it's talking about the second death. Say that, you know, what should I say? You know, the second death, that if you don't believe Christ, on the great white throne, and they have to be judged, isn't it?
Right.
And then if they still don't believe, they have to go to the lake of fire.
Right.
You know, my burden is, supposing it's my great grandfather, even my parents, they never have the gospel given to them, and they were put into the lake of fire in future. That would be very sad, isn't it?
Well, God is righteous. He will judge righteously. Whether you are sad or not, He will judge righteously. Okay? Has nothing to do with you. And you rejoice because you get saved. Right? Okay. Now, they actually, according to Matthew 25, there's another group of people that will not go to the lake of fire. You know that. It's the sheep. The sheep are the ones who took care of the believers and the Jews during persecution time. Okay. And so they will not be in the lake of fire, but they will be just common people living on the new earth. Okay, so that's another group. So whether the gospel was preached or not to a certain person, it also depends on if he lived by his conscience. In Romans, it talks about that. When there's no law, people have to live by the conscience. So if they live by the conscience, caring for God's people, they will escape the lake of fire.
Supposing there's no God's people around them, like
there's always God's people around them.
as always.
I don't think my parents' time.
Well, you don't know. So don't argue about things that you don't know. Just believe God is righteous.
Yeah.
And he will judge righteously and then go to sleep.
And don't feel sad about it.
Yeah. Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
What can you do now?
No.
Nothing you can do. So just relax.
Well, I suppose another one, the thief that who died with Jesus together.
Right.
One of them, they say that, you remember me. You know?
Right, right.
So he went with, he said, oh, you go with me to the paradise.
Right.
That one, I don't think he was saved, was he?
Well, he definitely was saved. Yeah. Definitely.
No, that moment he was saved because right. he believed Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
But he wasn't baptized.
He doesn't need to be baptized.
Oh.
He said, remember me. Then the Lord said, I see you today in paradise.
Mm.
That's it. God himself said you are saved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
nothing, yeah. We should not say anything.
Yeah.
Then Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Then it says, he who does not believe shall be condemned.
Mm.
It did not say he who does not believe and is not baptized. It just does not believe. So believing is for salvation.
Mm.
Baptism is for living. Now he is going to die, so he didn't need to be baptized. Even a friend of yours is in a deathbed about to die, and then you preach the gospel, he received the Lord, you cannot baptize him. He's saved.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have met many people recently who had suffered from bullying in school and also different mental diseases or learning disorders. Can you share some testimonies about meeting such people and how God helped them?
Were you ever bullied by people?
Yeah.
Were you ever bullied by people? No? Bully? No? Huh? You bully others? I think most of us have been bullied by people, sometime or another. When you are so big, it's hard for people to bully you. But when you were a little kid, people bully.
I go to work every day, I get bullied by the children in my class. The definition of bullying is repeating something again and again over a period of time. So when the children are mean to the teacher, that is bullying. Nobody think about that.
Okay,
but
that's
most
good.
Most of the bullying in my school is children bullying the teachers. But no one ever talk about that. But I get bullied every day, but I'm not talking about that. When I was at school, I got bullied because I was a Christian. And
okay.
I spoke
something.
Yeah.
So here says bullying and mental diseases. And learning disorders, three types of things. They are separate. They are different. Okay, so for bullying first. What do you do with somebody who is being bullied? What if, you know, we actually are all bullied by the devil.
Yeah, that's true.
Every day. As we are martyred. So it's certainly when people are under being bullied, there are different things you can do. Number one is have to make sure the in the legal side is to talk to the teacher, the school about this situation. So you know, there were some things that when you don't take care of, then eventually they may kill themselves or they get beaten up. Well, there was one guy just got beaten up to death 2 months ago because it was bullied. Okay, so that is the physical side, the legal side. You have to take care of that. But emotionally, you just have to preach the gospel to them and let them pray and enjoy the Lord. I think many of the wives feel bullied by the husband. Yeah? Some of the husband people. So bullying is a common thing.
Yeah.
every day. Then you talk about somebody getting beaten, abused physically. Well, physical abuse needs some separation and some legal help or something like that. But otherwise, every one of us suffer every day by something. So we have to just learn to turn to the Lord. Now, then this is a mental disease. That needs doctors. There are two types of mental disease. One is due to chemicals in a body that is not balanced. The other one is you just get mental and you cannot change that. Mental disease is hard. We have a brother who always wanted to commit suicide before he got saved. And after he got saved, then eventually committed suicide because of the imbalance of the chemical. He took the medicine, then he was fine. Then he thinks he's fine. He stopped taking the medicine, then he gets bad. So nothing you can do. This type of situation, I just say, well, see you later in resurrection. Nothing we can do. We try to shepherd 10 years. And then finally, he still killed himself. And then another brother has mental disease. Then he took medicine. He was fine. He's not fine. Then eventually he abused his wife. And then eventually he thinks that he is Christ. And then go around preaching, he is God. Not the way we say we are God, but another way. So what can you do? Mental disease. It's hard. When the body is sick, it's easy. When the mind is sick, it's hard. If it's only chemical imbalance, still it's easy because just take the medicine. But then some people don't like to take the medicine. They said it give them weird feelings. So eventually, nothing you can do. Okay. Then learning disorder, as a teacher. What's learning disorder?
Well, the way you listen and learn is different to most people. So you may need some adjustment. So sometimes you need extra help. Sometimes you need more time. Sometimes you need to take breaks more often.
Yeah. So you need the professional help.
Yes.
So nothing we can talk about here that can help them. Right? That is hard to help. Means learning disorders. I have learning disorder. Yeah, I could never sit still and read a book for when I was a kid. My son said he has
ADHD.
Yeah. He is sharp, but then he is can sit still. For then he figured that out when after he was 30. Then he told me that he had that. So I said I had it too. So anyway, learning disorder is easier to fix. Hardest is the mental diseases. Okay. God can help them, sure, if they would turn to the Lord. Okay, is it time to break? Let's have some prayer, and then we'll take a break. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for all the sisters.
Amen.
Thank you for all the questions.
Amen.
Thank you for your answer in the Word.
Amen.
Christ, you and your cross is the answer to all our problems.
Amen.